And I'll just pray for you. Look, they even got a seat for you, Stevie. I know that's because you were sore after the weekend. I know. You didn't put your hand up, but I know. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Stevie. But most importantly, above all, I thank you for your word that's going to come through him tonight. I pray an incredible increase of anointing on that as we receive it from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not sure if I need this chair. It's kind of like more of a Steve Ahern kind of deal, isn't it? I'm 30, but I'm just getting to that stage a bit sooner than I had planned. No, I won't sit. Cool. How's everyone doing tonight? If you're a guest, it's great to have you with us. Before I get into it, I do want to welcome one particular guest. Mike Morris has just joined us from YWAM Perth. Let me set up, Mike. So Mike's been leading the school music and missions there for many years alongside Sabo. And if you don't know, we are about to re-pioneer the school music and missions. Starts next Tuesday. And if you didn't know, somehow I've managed to wiggle my way into leading that school. So Mike's here to help us get the school prepared as well as share for the first few days. And it's a pleasure to have you, Mike. And thank you for journeying with us. If Sabo was here, I'd say the same thing. I've been talking to Sabo about school music and missions for about 10 years now. And it's really exciting that we're about to dive back into that whole realm. Anyone excited for us to expand and grow and use music as a base to reach more people? I'm particularly excited about that. Great. Well, tonight, I really sense that God has a very clear word for tonight and a very clear agenda. It wasn't something I was planning on sharing for this week, but as I waited on God, it really quickly came up on issues of inheritance. And it's kind of connected. As a community, if you're joining us, we just came back from this amazing base retreat where we're camping, and God really moved in some of the sessions that we had as a whole base, as the schools broke off, as the staff met together. And for those of you that were a part of Base Retreat, we're kind of going a bit further into that. So if you thought there's a bit of a reprieve and that you kind of dealt with some things and moved forward, we're gonna keep moving forward. Is that okay, YWAM Newcastle's community? And for those of us that aren't a part of that or weren't a part of the Base Retreat, I really hope this is encouraging for you too, and I think there'll be some overlap. All right, so what are some of the imageries or ideas or things that pop in your mind when we hear the word inheritance? Someone just, let's just yell out a few. Money, treasure, gold, right? Like, I get the image of Scrooge McDuck kind of diving off his diving board into his thing and somehow not smashing his face and swimming through coins that weigh something and they're quite heavy. What else kind of comes up when we hear the word inheritance? Promised land. Family? Someone say children? Ooh. Says children? Famous art pieces? Cool. Anyone get like the imagery of like a will? Or does anyone get the imagery? This can be a bit more of the dark side, but someone passing away or the issue of the turning over of tides when someone actually passes away. Number of things. This is an issue or a topic that's really become more and more significant in my own journey. And I think that God has a very specific thing in mind when it comes to inheritance. I've been here at YWAM Newcastle for 11 years now, and I've grown up a fair bit in that time. And some of you may know parts of my journey, some of you may not. I'm not going to get into the full details, but I'm going to highlight one aspect of my journey tonight. Some of you might have heard this before in different teaching times, some of you might not have, but it has to do with the area of the call of God in my life in music and worship. Some of you may or may not know that God's been leading me in some really exciting directions to record an album and to go on tours and to write music, and it's been quite exciting. For those that don't know, that wasn't always the case. There was a point in time where I was extremely ungifted and extremely untalented and really awkward when it came to a microphone or a guitar. And I'll give you like the snapshot version of this story. So when I was 17, I got really hooked on the idea of God using me in missions. I got on a few short-term trips to Indonesia, and I told my first person about Jesus in Kuta Beach, and I got hooked. I'm like, man, this is awesome. This is what I want for my life. And I, at the time, had this really clear idea that it was going to be through surfing. Surfing at 15 years old, 16 years old, 17 years old, that was what I wanted my inheritance to be. Man, God, if you have a plan for my life, it would be awesome if I could be the next Kelly Slater. That would just be amazing. So I'm open for that, God. I was listening and waiting and hearing when it came to ideas of inheritance and God's plan for my life. That's what I wanted to hear. Do we all believe tonight that God has a plan for your life? Yeah? Everyone kind of vaguely believe that? No, we might not all, but some of us probably are wrestling with the idea, do we believe that plan is a good plan? Who believes that God has a good plan for your life and for your future? Who believes that God has an inheritance for you? Yeah? Some of us are still not quite sure. I hope that tonight we can kind of deal with that. So that's what I wanted. And as I was growing, I was really involved with the YWAM base of Maui. And I would spend a lot of time in different worship times. I kind of implanted myself into that community as a 17-year-old senior in high school. And I fell in love with being free in times of worship. There was just this special kind of anointing and deal that the base there had. Nobody wore shoes. Everybody smelled. They had dreadlocks. They banged on bongo drums. And they worshiped like they actually meant it. And that was a new thing for me. I never had been a part of a community where you came in and you actually didn't want worship to stop. I went to this really tiny church and worship was okay, but mostly it was kind of like grin and bear it. And then we got to the message. And in one of these particular times, there was a guy named Jonathan Orpia, and he was playing the drums and leading worship at the same time. So imagine Chris was up the front here, and he had one of those little lapels, and he was banging on the drums, and it was just like, man. I remember watching him being like, this is incredible. This guy was created to do this, right? Have you ever had that moment where you see someone doing something they were created to do, and you're just like, man, what would it look like for me to be doing what I was really created to do? Anyone ever had that sensation before? Yeah? And in that moment, God clearly spoke, Stevie, I've called you to be a worshiper and I've called you to be a worship leader, much like John. And at that time, I had no concept. Couldn't tell you what a G chord was. Couldn't sing for the life of me. It was tone deaf, no rhythm. And it was very foreign. Now, there's a long story attached to that. Some testing, some motivations, some opposition. A number of things happened. But finally, before I graduated high school, I made a decision in my heart. Okay, Jesus, if this is what you have for me, I'm in. Against all better logic, against people telling me that I was terrible, that I should never lead worship, that it's for someone else, I finally got to the point through a great, awesome, loving mom. She said, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. If God's calling you to this, son, you probably should do it. And I'm like, oh, think about that now. It's like almost 15 years ago. I'm like, man, what an amazing mother I have. Some of you have met my mom. Would you guys agree? She's awesome. She is awesome. And I decided that I wanted God's inheritance for my life at probably 18 years old. And at the time, it was like, cool, I'm going to use music, and I'm going to go off and do a DTS. And even on my DTS, I'm like, sweet, as soon as DTS is over, I'm going to go off to Perth and do a school of worship. Maybe I've been on Chris's school of worship. That was my plan. That's what I thought my inheritance was, because God clearly spoke, and it was this big, long, dramatic exchange of back and forth and failure, and I'm going to keep pushing forward, and then failure again. And finally, I was like, I don't care. I want what you have for me, God. And when I did that, man, the lights came on. I fell in love with music. My voice changed. I started getting rhythm. And before I knew it, surfing was like this very low in the totem pole of music and worship. And using this area has been just this amazing journey. So I didn't go off to YWAM Perth to do a school of worship. Sad face. Shirley's coming back. Shirley's coming here this week. Mike's here. Christy's here. So Perth's come to us anyway, so it's awesome. But that was my plan. That's what I had in my mind as a clear track. Okay, God, if you're speaking to me music, and this is who I created you to be, Stevie, then this must be my inheritance, to use my giftings to glorify you and to bring people into the kingdom of God. Sounds pretty good, right? And snapshot of that is that the last 11 years, there's been numbers of times where I've used this gifting to glorify God, to bring others into the kingdom, to create a sense of community and a sense of clearly hearing what God's saying, many times in this room or in other places and the nations all over. But the lie or the misconception that we have is that our giftings are actually our inheritance. And they're not. The things that God gives us, the things that he speaks, the ideas, the dreams, the passions, they're all part of it, and they all kind of mold into this big picture plan. But our giftings and the individual things that God places in our lives actually aren't the definition of our inheritance. I'll let that sink in for a second. Maybe you're like, what? No. because God spoke to me last week and it's getting me all excited and I'm super pumped and I've heard so many stories. I'm living out my own story where God clearly spoke, I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and now I want you to record an album, and now I want you to lead a school. The crazy thing is that every part of that journey has been my inheritance, but I haven't arrived there yet. My inheritance isn't fully grasped in my hand. Inheritance isn't a moment, it's a journey, right? Can you guys understand that? Inheritance isn't, great, I got it. And that's what we've been trained in our generation and in this age, is that when we want an answer, we just go on Google and we get the answer. If we're sick, we just go on WebMD and we get diagnosed immediately. Do you guys realize the heightened, crazy, hyper-progressive generation that we are now a part of? Any one of those things of like, how do I make this recipe? Or how do I cure this disease? Or what do I want to learn about French philosophy? We can just literally go on our computers right now and get an answer. And I think when it comes to inheritance, we have believed the lie as young Christians that it's a matter of just typing it into Google and we'll get our inheritance. That we'll walk right into the things that God has, because God's good and God loves me. So why wouldn't he just give me my inheritance right now? I want it. Give it to me, God. I love you. You love me. It all makes sense. So here we go. That hasn't been my journey. Any good God-fearing man or woman of God I know, that hasn't been their journey. Sure, God gives them visions and dreams, and part of that gets unwrapped in their gifting in leadership, their gifting in worship, their gifting in administration, their gifting in compassion and mercy ministries. But we get super fixated really early on the fact that the things that God starts speaking, because God's generous and he speaks all the time, we confuse them with what our actual inheritance is. You guys want to know what your inheritance is? Yeah, can I tell you what your inheritance is? Your inheritance, my inheritance, every inheritance of every person that's ever lived. It's the kingdom of God in all its fullness. How good is that? Does anyone think the kingdom of God is worth pursuing and having that be your inheritance? Jesus says some pretty incredible things about the kingdom of God, that it's coming, it's advancing, it's on its way. He never said, okay, it's here now, or he did, and that's it. Now we're done. He gives us the sense that the kingdom is coming. It's moving forward. It's here, but also not fully yet here, right? He doesn't want us as young Christians, as young believers, not just age, but whatever age we are, to trick ourselves into thinking that, I just want what you have for me now, God. Give it to me. So my journey as a musician has been one of humbly saying, God, I know that you've called me to this. I went through that wrestle as a 17, 18, 19, 30-year-old even right now. This gift that you've given me isn't my inheritance. Jesus, you are my inheritance. Your kingdom is my inheritance in all of its fullness. And if I can use whatever you put in my hand to build that kingdom, I'm super into that. But at any point those things get in the way of me walking into my inheritance, to pursuing and walking forward into all of the things that you have for me, I want to give you the permission to never let the gift be elevated above the inheritance. Let's talk about Moses for a second. We had the privilege of hearing from Tom Hallis over the weekend, and there was a couple of major nuggets that he brought up. And one of them in particular, he was talking about this issue of Moses' anger and how limiting it was, and say, I'm actually walking into his inheritance. But before I get there, let's just have a little brief look at Moses' life. Pretty incredible, right? What a dramatic story. There's a new movie coming out, Christian Bale's playing Moses. Should be pretty exciting. It's called Exodus, Kings and Queens or something. I like Christian Bale. I think he's pretty dramatic, and I think he's the perfect person to play Moses, because talk about a dramatic, crazy life. This guy was floated down a basket when he was an infant, and the things that he saw from there until he died is unbelievable. So there's a lot of things we can talk about Moses. I think that he is probably, in my opinion, besides Jesus, tasked with one of the most difficult jobs in the entire Bible. His capacity to do what God called him to do and to lead the level he was is unbelievable. Very difficult, very trying. And it starts off with this little baby in a basket floating down a river, and he was orphaned. Now, his orphan was a little bit different. It's kind of like a sad, but not super sad, because that's the sovereignty of God, that if he wasn't orphaned, he would never have got past probably 1 year old. So God in his sovereignty rescued Moses, sent him down a river. He was picked up by a family, grew up in this palace. Privilege, position, entitlement, all sorts of things. But really deep down, he knew that he was orphaned. Whether that's a negative thing, we can kind of debate about that. But he knew that there was a sense of destiny, a belonging. Where do I fit? Who are my people? Why do I look this way and they look that way? I'm sure there was a whole range of things. And at the peak of that wrestle, we have Moses recognizing that he's a Jew. He's a Hebrew. He sees them Hebrews being mistreated. He says, that's not cool. And he acts out in anger and he strikes down and kills the Egyptian. We're all familiar with that story. So it says in Exodus 2:11, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So I find this very interesting. When we know the full story of what Moses' destiny is, Moses' destiny, his calling, his inheritance was to lead the people into freedom, out of captivity. So even before God encounters him at the burning bush, he deeply knows that he's called for this amazing purpose. He sees his people being afflicted, and he's like, that ain't right. I want to do something about it. So he acts out in anger and kills, and in shame runs away. So isn't that quite interesting? Before the God even encountered Moses with the burning bush, he had this innate kind of inherent, I'm called to do this. I'm called to set these people free. Now, he did that in a super inappropriate way, and it cast him into shame and exile, and he goes out in the bush, and he becomes a shepherd. Well, fast forward to the next part of the story that I think is really key with this. So as Moses eventually submits to God's call on his life, he asks the classic question. So God has this encounter with him. Moses, I am who I am. This is what I have for you. I want you to set my people free. Moses has this whole long list of, but this, but not, I can't, I don't feel like I can. And God breaks through, and one of the coolest ways he breaks through amongst burning bushes and all sorts of crazy stuff is he says, the Lord spoke to Moses, take the rod. Oh, wait, sorry. I jumped ahead of myself. God replies to him and says, what's in your hand? Moses said, my rod. And God convinces Moses through what's already in his hand. He's a shepherd, right? So the last few years he's been tending the sheep, getting a skill, growing in his understanding of who the heck am I. And he ends up shepherding people, but at the time he's shepherding sheep. And God gives him this clear picture, the rod that you have in your hand, let me show you what I can do with it. And it turns into a snake, and it does all sorts of stuff. And that rod becomes quite key for Moses' identity and his calling and inheritance. You see that? So God uses what he already has. Hey, I want to use what you already have, and I want to use it to be part of your gifting, your calling, and therefore in your inheritance. Fast forward, end of Moses' life. Lots of stuff happened. Red Sea gets parted. Plagues, locusts, people die, people moving forward. God revealing himself in thunder and lightning, tablets being written, crazy stuff. Again, dramatic, crazy life. God says, this is your inheritance to set my people free and to walk them into the promised land. The very end of Moses' life, things are pretty messy. He encounters God and he said, God, I just don't know what to do anymore. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he has commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, hear now, you rebels. Because before this, they were griping. Oh, we're thirsty. This is not a great inheritance that you've led us into. We were better before. You know, when we were in captivity, at least we had water. Now we have nothing. And Moses is just up to here with the complaints and the grumbles. So he says, God, give me a plan, because this inheritance, this plan, this journey you have for me, I don't think I can do it anymore. God gives him a very clear directive. Speak to the rock and water will come out. I will continue to be faithful. Trust me. Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord Moses spoke to Aaron, Moses and Aaron said, Moses, you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given him. This to me is so profound and interesting that the same thing that God gave Moses probably 50, 60 years before, whoever knows how long, to convince him of his faithfulness, the gifting, the representation of this is your inheritance, that Moses uses that same thing and connects it to his initial foolishness, which is to strike someone in anger and kill them. At the end of his life, he strikes in anger again, and he doesn't get to walk into his inheritance. It's quite sad, isn't it? Moses, this like hero of the faith, like this amazing patron of everything that me and you get to have a part of now, all the benefits. Huge part of that is because of this dude. Now the question here is, wow, that seems a bit harsh. You know, did God remove his love and his affection and how he felt about Moses? No, he didn't at all. I'm convinced that God wasn't punishing Moses and saying, oh, now you're not going to spend eternity with me or be in Abraham's bosom until Jesus comes and then one day you'll be in heaven. But Moses didn't walk in to the full inheritance that God had for him and that generation. And they're connected to this sense that Moses, as a young man, knew that he had a calling, knew that he had giftings, knew that there was something inside of him that was meant to come out, and he did it in his own strength, and he acted out of anger, and he struck and killed the Egyptian. Decades and decades later, that same seed, that same anger, reared its ugly head again and disqualified Moses to walk into his inheritance. That's pretty full on, right? It's pretty gnarly. It's like, man, you think God could have been a bit more gracious? This guy had stuck his neck out for him 1,000 times over and over and over and over again. And I think when we look at our inheritance as what we've talked about, the kind of Google answer, what's my inheritance, Google? We want this immediate answer to come out, the immediate results. The story can have the sense of like, whoa, that's pretty full on. Let's look at the prodigal son story, and we'll get back to that in a second. So we all know the prodigal son story? Yeah. Two brothers living with the father. Everything's great. They have access to everything the father has access to, which is lots, fat calves, parties, amazing house, probably big land. And we have this young brother. He says, no, I want my inheritance now, Dad. Give it to me. I don't want to wait till I'm older. Give it to me now. He kind of Googles inheritance. I'm keen. Let's do it. I know you're good. I like living here, but I want all of it right now. We all know the story. He goes out, blows it all super quickly on women and drugs and if momentary satisfaction, fulfillment, what he thinks is going to fulfill him. He takes the inheritance from the father to fulfill him and gets completely wrecked. He's eating with the pigs. He's going, oh my gosh, I've totally squandered every part of this inheritance. What do I do now? And the connection here between this story and Moses is that God really wants us as people that follow him to represent him really well. And he can't necessarily let us fully walk into our inheritance, because our inheritance is the kingdom, if that's not what we're going to produce in our lives. So you might be given a gift. Have you ever thought, like, man, why the heck does, like, Kanye West and Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt, whoever you think is cool, they're just so gifted. I wish I was that gifted. And that's impressive. These people have gifts and abilities and talents. But we all know that beyond that momentary thing that they're doing, there's more to life, right? There's more to the reason why we're in existence. And the kingdom, what we've been talking about in the beginning, that's what we're really created for, is to operate and to function in God's kingdom. And every bit of my journey, every bit of your journey, the little tidbits that we get on DTS or times where we get this encounter with God, like Moses did this burning bush, they're super dramatic and it kind of opens up our eyes. They're just snapshots into this full overarching story that God actually has for us in our inheritance. And God couldn't trust Moses, man, to walk into that. And Moses had done a lot of trustworthy things because he knew that if Moses took the people into the promised land, into the inheritance, and didn't stop being angry, that it wouldn't represent to the future generations and nations what God's really like. And God's very particular about how we represent him. So this weekend, we've been talking about areas of duality, sin, unrepentant things that we can get away with this and still represent God. It's a lie, you guys. And that doesn't mean that God's going to remove his affection from us and remove his love for us and even probably remove salvation from us. We can debate that if we want. But there's more to being alive than just knowing that God loves me and that I'm saved and one day I'm going to go to heaven, right? There's our inheritance. And it's now and it's not yet. And it's a journey and it's a progressive step by step. I want more of what you have for me, God. And I'm going to tell you guys straight up that your giftings and the dreams and desires that God wants to give you and is giving you isn't enough to sustain your inheritance. This is where character kicks in. This is what fear of the Lord, and Jules has been nailing the guys today. The little things that we think, well, that's not a big deal. I can go this far with my girlfriend or boyfriend. I can do this on the weekends. I can do this on my free time, and I can still show up and raise my hands and clap and sing and dance, and I can still write great songs. I can still pull together great teams. I can still plant YWAM centers, whatever. But I don't have to really grow in my character, and I'll still get my inheritance. It's the biggest lie that we could possibly believe. You might still have a rich kind of understanding of God's affection and love for you through Jesus dying on the cross. And God in his faithfulness isn't going to remove his love and affection for you because of your rebellion or your lack of character, but you won't walk into your inheritance. I'll ask that question again. Who wants to walk in to their inheritance? All the good things that God has for us. All of the ways that we can represent God in the nations through who we are, through our giftings, through our personality, through our individual stories. I have a pretty broken story, but God's redeemed it, and God's changing it. God wants to continue to do that, and that's part of my inheritance. Family restoration, reconciliation with my own father and my siblings. And as I walk out that inheritance, as it comes, the crazy thing about inheritance is it's never limited to just us individually. The inheritance always has this plural others, nations, more people effect. And you can think, well, if I don't walk into my inheritance, God will still love me, and that would be a bummer, but it's not going to really affect anybody. That is another huge lie. If I don't walk into my inheritance, not only is it going to affect me, my future family, my future wife and kids, my extended family, but all of the people that benefit from me walking in my inheritance will suffer when I don't walk into my inheritance. And to me, I'm hoping that that's thousands, maybe even millions of people. Why not, right? That could benefit from me walking in my inheritance, from you walking in your inheritance. Moses, David, Solomon, all these dudes, Peter, walking into their inheritance, wrestling with the character of God and saying, if there's anything that would keep me from walking in step with you, I want to get rid of it. And the Bible is encouraging in the sense that there's a bunch of tragic people that don't walk into the inheritance. Moses is part of that, but God still blesses and honors him. Solomon's another classic one. He gets all the gifts and the wisdom in the world, and things are going great, and he squanders all of it. Gets billions of wives and makes chariots and builds up the army of Israel to withhold blessing, not give it. God can't honor that. God couldn't honor Solomon's choice to take the gift, to take the blessing, and to squander it. Pretty gnarly, pretty full on. And these are some huge heroes of ours. Prodigal son, let's get back to that in a second. Is that God knows that if we don't desire character above calling and gifting, that we're never going to be fully fulfilled. You might think, well, if I have my gifting and my calling and I can write the song and I can free the child slave and if I can lead the DTS and if I can do these things, then I'll be fully fulfilled. And you'll be partially fulfilled, but the reason we'll be fulfilled and the way that God fulfills us is not by us doing, but by becoming more like Jesus, right? By growing into our inheritance to fully inherit all the things that Jesus has for us. And we can't be dualistic in the sense that all the things Jesus has for me is all the amazing exploits, the journey, the adventures, the songs, the albums, the bases, the teams, but not all the stuff that comes along with that, the sacrifice, the humility, the the generosity, the transparency, the submission to the Father, the giving and the giving and the giving until you don't have nothing left to give and you give more. That's the stuff that Jesus wants to pour into us so that we can actually use the song, the blog, the bass, the team, the thing that you think is your inheritance. That's just part of it. That's just this little sliver of the cherry on top. So I got a couple slides, and I'm going to use this as a way to kind of wrap us up. Is this okay? Yeah? Are we thinking, or we're all a bit quiet? Yeah? Is this good? So I have a couple points that I want to put up. I have a few things that the prodigal slash orphan spirit always does. And these are the things that stop us from walking into our inheritance. So let's put that first one up, Lauren. The prodigal slash orphan always strives. So just like the son, they're striving for something that they just got to get it. I want it now. I need to impress. And even the other brother, as the other brother comes back and there's this big party, he's like, I got to strive to understand why. Why, God, why didn't I get to have all these things? Like, you've already have it all. You already possess everything that I have. What more could you want? The next one, the prodigal orphan always takes for granted what he already has. They can't even see what's right in front of them. The gift, the abundance, the amazing things that God's already done in their life, is currently doing in their lives. So it's impossible to see, how could you do more for me in the future? Because I can't even appreciate what's right in front of me. The prodigal orphan spirit always demands to have what is already theirs, causing them to lose what they already possess. So the son that left the father, he already had everything that he needed. But because he wanted his inheritance, whatever that looked like to him, he couldn't even see that he already had everything that he could possibly want. Right now, me and you have everything we could possibly want or need in Jesus in this exact moment. Right here, right now. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's available to you and me. And we can grab it. But too often we're like, I know that I have it, but I want the thing. I want the milk and honey. You told me a bit about it. Now I want that. I want the song. I want the guitar. I want the girlfriend. I want the wife, husband, boyfriend, whatever. None of those things are bad. The fact that God's led me to do a few things, they're not bad, but they had to be done in a way where God could actually trust me to use them in a way that built his kingdom and not built my own little thing. So the prodigal spirit always can't see what's right in front of them. So it's impossible to project into the future of what their inheritance looks like because they can't even see the moment and they're in the cloud. Last one. This is a cool one. The prodigal orphan always has a second chance and can always come back home. And that's why the prodigal son story is so cool, and even in conjunction with some gnarly ones like Solomon and Moses, is Jesus is giving each one of us a chance tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, that even if you've squandered, even if you've sought after the gift above what I have for you, really fully have for you, it's never too late to come back home. It's never too late to put things back right and say, Jesus, I don't want to live my life in a way where the fulfilling things that I'm reaching for keep leaving me dry. I want what you have for me, not what I think you have for me. Tom made this huge comment about God and his opinion of himself, that we need to have God's opinion of himself, not my opinion of what you have for me, God, because that's what I think I need. Who really deep down knows that God has a better plan for your life than you have for your life? Anybody? I definitely have come into that realization over some time. That can be a humbling thing, and it can also be the most freeing reality in the world, that God, you have such a better plan for my life than I have for my own life. And we can believe that at one stage, and then God starts sprinkling in things like a land flowing with milk and honey, or a girl with wavy hair, or I don't know, a cool album or whatever. And there's some of these things are like, yeah, God's like, I want to give them to you because I'm generous and I'm good. But then we're like, oh, cool. Everything's all about the girl with wavy hair now. Or everything's all about this thing that I've fixated my eyes on, not about the Father who's giving it to me. And just eating out of his hand because he just keeps giving me good stuff. But I'm going to demand that and say, no, you've already told me you're going to give it to me. So give it to me now. That's what the prodigal son does in this story. Give it to me now. I want it. What an insult to the Father. What a painful experience that father must have went through. But thankfully, the father is also gracious and welcomes the son back and they have a big party. But how many parties do we need to have before we just stop having like the back and forth? Let's just have the party now. Right? Let's not have to go off and do a bunch of stupid things and develop hepatitis C and waste all this money that could be spent on other things. And oh, but there'll be a party eventually. Let's just know that the party is already here, right now in front of me. This amazing thing that God has for me. It's actually available right now, today. Right? You guys believe that? That your inheritance is in the future, but it's also right now? Yeah, do you guys believe that? It's kind of like a paradox, but it's like coming and it's already here. And God wants us to go on this journey with him of discovering, first of all, who he really is, what he's really like, not so that we can have a good head-filled knowledge, but so we can actually show the world what he's like, to actually build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And once we have that straight, once we know, like, cool, I'm not going to strive after all these things, and God, I want this to do everything I do to be in reflection of your character and to honor you, and we have the permission to write the best songs, to do the coolest websites, to do the coolest schools, to do the most radically innovative stuff to build this kingdom. But until we do this, the sense of laying down anything that would block us from walking into our inheritance, God will never trust us to do those things. He can't. It's against his nature to say, oh, Stevie, I know you're still struggling with self-esteem and pride and who you really are, but I'm going to let you write all these songs and then get on MTV and blare out my character. Because I'm going to give people a lie about what God's like. And too many times people hear these things from God. Oh, God called me to be a rock star. I know one person that's done that, that's been doing that well. His name's Jonathan Ahern. God said, I'm going to put you in this really big rock and roll band, and it's going to be awesome. And he submitted to his dad. Then he submitted to his leaders. And he continues to submit to his dad. And he continues to submit to his leaders. Now, I've heard a handful, maybe more than a handful of people that have been like, in DTS, God's called me to be in this really cool band. And then like 1 year later, 5 years later, however much later, nothing's really happening. They're not really walking in their inheritance. They might be writing a couple cool songs or doing a couple cool things. But it's obvious that God can't trust them to fully walk into all the things he has for them, to fully represent him to the world. I don't know about you guys, but I really want to walk in my inheritance. I don't want to have the old things, whatever that might be, whether that's anger, lust, gossip, things that I've struggled with in the past, like Moses, he struggled with it as a young man. I don't want that to carry on in my whole story. I don't want to do all the things God's called me to and then realize, man, I'm still holding on to all these little things because I'm going to miss out. And not only that, but people, maybe in the tens of thousands, are going to miss out because I'm not walking into my inheritance. So let's just take a moment right now as we close. I'm going to ask a couple questions. I'm going to give us time to think and meditate. The first questions we're going to ask God is, what are the areas of gifting that I'm elevating above my real inheritance? Gifting / stuff that you do. Some of these things can genuinely be from God as well. But what areas of gifting, talent, stuff are we elevating above our real inheritance, which is the kingdom in all its fullness? And the second question is, what areas of character do I need strengthening in order to sustain my gifts? And the opposite of that is, the question is not what gifts can I have to sustain my sense of fulfillment? Because your gifts aren't going to fulfill you, but your inheritance will. So I'm going to pray both those questions. I'm going to give us just a minute or so to reflect and meditate. God, we come before you right now, and we know that this has been a full weekend for a lot of us here at the base, and for those that are jetting in, I pray that this would find its target as well. And we, you've been really pushing an agenda in our hearts of sifting through what's really of the most importance. And we'll be the first to admit, God, that sometimes the things that we elevate as important aren't nearly as important to you as they are to us. I just want to start before I ask these questions, just declare and represent all of us that we believe that you're trustworthy, God. The God that asks us to lay things down or to pick things up, to do the hard, to become more like Jesus, and that seems impossible. The God that asks us that is trustworthy. Thank you that you even trusted me to be in your family, period, to welcome me in, and I don't deserve that. So I just want to start there, God, that would you come right now and just reveal again your trustworthiness to us? And if we struggle with that, would you reveal the areas of why do we find it difficult to trust you? To believe that you have an inheritance and a plan and purpose for us that's much better than what we have thought out for ourselves. So we just declare again our allegiance to you, Jesus, that you are trustworthy. You are always good. You are slow to anger. You're merciful. You're compassionate in all of your ways. And because of that, we can ask you questions like, God, what areas of gifting am I elevating above my inheritance in you? And because of your trustworthiness, God, we can ask you to reveal areas of our character that need major strengthening in order that we might use our gifts to actually make a difference in this world. I pray that you reveal those areas of character, God. Any areas of anger, any areas of a lack of self-control, whether that be in our thought life or our words or our actions, any areas of sexual morality, any areas of gossip, of being foolish with our finances, when we've been impatient, God, when we've grumbled and we've been ungrateful for what we already have, when we've slandered our friend and our neighbor, when we've slandered you, when we've been prideful and we felt like we knew better than our leaders or our family or our friends or the people around us. We're not afraid to let you reveal any of those areas or any other areas because we desperately want our inheritance and we cannot walk in them with any of these things hanging behind us. We're desperate, God, for your inheritance. We're desperate to have the things you have for us. Stir in us right now a spirit of Jacob to wrestle with you, to fully grab a hold of all the things that you want for us. If you want to change our identity, if you want to rename us even, God, just like Jacob, we're open for that. Because we recognize that without you, us striving for us to walk into what you have for us, it's just a total mess. It's a bumpy ride that doesn't go anywhere good. But as we submit to you and we open up our hearts and allow you to do this work of revealing areas of real blockage for what you have for us, that you're faithful and you're just to deal with those things. We give you permission to really deal with us tonight, God. Not because it's the right thing to do or because we've been told, but because we know that you have an amazing plan for us. You have an amazing inheritance for each and every person in this room. And that inheritance is not just for us, but it's for all of Mayfield. It's for all of Newcastle. It's for all of Australia. It's for all the nations of the world. And each one of us walking into our inheritance fully, man, it just excites me to think what that's going to do to the world. The crazy world-changing plan you have just because we say yes to you and letting you do the work to change us to be more like Jesus so that we can fully grab a hold of your kingdom. That's just such an exciting thought, God. Inspire us right now, even as we deal with those areas. As they get removed, replace them with the things you have for us. Replace them with the character traits of Jesus that you want to muster up, that you want to fan into flame. I just take a little bit more here? Why don't we just take a moment to name those things in our own hearts? Let's make a plan. Let's get real practical with this. If it's anger, don't just say, oh God, I don't want to be angry anymore. Amen. If you don't want to be angry, what are you going to do the next time you have a chance to be angry? What mechanisms, what people are you going to invite into your life that when you have attempted to be angry, that you won't be angry? If you struggle with lust, if you struggle with pornography, if you struggle with a lack of self-control with the opposite sex, if you really want your inheritance, and a bunch of you said yes, you did, so I'm going to hold you to that and hold myself to that, what are you going to do so that these things do not stop you from walking into your inheritance? If you struggle with gossip, what are you going to do to stop talking about people behind their backs? Because you cannot take gossip into the promised land. If you've been foolish with your finances and you know you have deadlines, but you keep spending it on things you don't actually need, what are you going to do to actually stop doing that? Don't just say with your mouth, I want what you have for me, God, and then not change these areas. So let's just take another 30 seconds to say, God, what are those areas and what's the game plan? Would you help me to come up with a strategy? And often that will involve other people, like leaders or family members or whatever. And maybe tonight after this meeting, you need to go and tell them, hey, this is what God revealed, and I'm sick of this stuff stopping me from walking in to all that God has for me. I'm really sick of it, so I'm inviting you to speak into my life. Some of them might be a bit more personal, and that's cool as well. Let's just do that now as we stop. And we just about finish. I'm not sure if I'm over time. I probably am. But I think this is good. Is this good? So come and speak to us, God. What's the game plan that you have for us? Lord, we just thank you, and we just commit all of our ways to you in this amazing area of inheritance, that we want what you have for us. We recognize that the giftings that you give us, they are irrevocable. You don't give us a talent or an ability and take it away. And my commitment to you tonight, Jesus, our commitment is that the thing that you put in our hand, whether that's the guitar or the microphone or the abilities to teach or whatever it might be, I don't want those things that you give me to be the thing that actually limits and hinders me to have you. And we know that you won't take those things back because you're good like that. And you're giving us a choice tonight to respond and say, God, I'm letting you reveal anytime the rod or whatever it is you put in my hand that you gave me, it was a gift from you to begin with, if that ever gets above you, the gift giver, himself, make that super clear to us and ring all the bells needed, flash all the alarms, do whatever it takes to make sure that that gift never, ever competes with you. Literally never, ever. That we would never have to feel afraid or timid about how we use our gifts because we know that they're producing fruit in your kingdom. But anytime they don't, we give you permission to just nail us. Can we just speak that out? If we do give God permission, can we make that a little bit vocal? I don't know how we do that, but can we just respond to God and just say, God, I actually give you permission to do that. Cool. That's all I have. There's probably some need for processing beyond this. So I just encourage you, grab a coffee and all that. But if you know that you need to go further, follow that plan. Don't make it and then never look at it again. Do we feel like God's speaking tonight? Revealing anything? Yeah? Anyone feel like God's speaking? Cool. That's all I got. Back to you, friend.
Thanks, Stevie. Appreciate that. That's really cool. Yeah, give him a clap.